If you got your Bibles, I'd like you first. I want to do a little preamble to this message I'm going to minister. Let's go to Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. Something very, very, everyone's preached. Brother Hagin preached over 60 years on this passage and still never got through it. Because the Word of God is so pregnant with revelation. And that's the only way I can say that. But that's true. Mark 11, 23 and 24. And I've heard many, many, many messages. This is not my text. This is just the preamble to it. I really love the red parts of the Bible where Jesus speaks. Actually, when I read it, most of the time I'll read it out loud to myself so I could hear my voice, because my spirit, Christ in me, the hope of glory. So when I speak, it's God speaking through me, especially when I'm reading his words. In Mark 11, 23 and 24, he says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say, that'll come to pass, you're going to have whatsoever you say it." How many of y'all believe that? You believe that totally? Good, good. Then the next verse says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive." Not when you get it, not when you see it, not when it manifests, but when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have it. Now, I just add you to go to this. Though, if here's a revelation you might want to take home with you. Those two verses, most people preach on the faith and how to believe, and that's good. But what those two verses is telling you, number one, how to get rid of what you don't want, which is the mountain. And how to get what you do want, which is whatsoever you desire. I mean, you could take those two verses and put it in those two synopses there. He tells us how to remove what we don't want and to get what we do want. Notice he didn't say need. I think we've been focused so much on need. Kathy, you've heard me say this before. I've had Kathy tell me this. "Jesse, you never ask God for a need." And I said, "Well, I don't need. I never will. Why would I want to do that?" When he said he'd supply all my need according to his riches and glory. I don't believe that. Then why am I bringing a need to it? So you've heard me say before. So I don't tell him what I need. I tell him what I want. Because when I get what I want, I destroy all my need. When you get what you want, you don't even think about need. Now, some of you watching by telling me, say, "Well, now that's greed." No, that's not. That's growth. You're finally getting to the level what God says. "The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not need." No, I shall not want. And James says that let patience have its perfect work, that you're perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Another scripture says the young lions do suffer lack, but he that seeks my face shall not want any good thing. The word want is amazing how powerful it is. Yet the church has really preached against wants because they think it's greed. And some people may have abused something in the Bible. But when you get what you want, you don't even think about need because it's so minor. So I notice that God's not really moved by need, because if he did, he'd never leave Calcutta, India. That place has got some need, man. If you see the people on the streets, babies just dying. But boy, God moved by want, because see, it takes more faith to get what you want than to have faith to get what you need. Thank you for that Holy Ghost grunt. It's not greed, it's growth. Now, I want you to go with me to the book of John, chapter 14. I wanted to say that those verses there in Mark 11, 23 and 24 shows you how to remove what you don't want, which is the mountain. So don't climb it, dissolve it. Church world's preached and made you a mountain climber. God wants you to be a mountain dissolver. So you can remove what you don't want, and then to get what you do want, but what things soever you desire. And notice he lets you make up your mind what you desire. Well, if it be his will. No, that's homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological thought. See, that's the theologian. That's the commentary. No, he just said, what things soever you desire. That when you pray. So there's a condition to it, that when you pray, so you have to pray, believe that you receive. And the most powerful word in that verse is believe, and you shall have it. In other words, everything else becomes automatic when you walk in that belief. In John chapter 14, see, Jesus was leading up when he said Mark 11, 23, 24, to give the world a revelation, to really reveal himself more than just Messiah, more than what the religious world, he was going to actually show them and say something so powerful that the religious world even today, has a hard time receiving because of the religious mind. I want to set this up in a way, preach. Because the religious mind is obstinate. It is. It's very obstinate. It has fixed opinions. If you don't believe what we believe, then you're going to hell. Or you don't believe it, then we'll have nothing to do with you. Now, we might go to your church or go to one of your meetings out of uniformity, but as far as becoming unity, we'll never be, because the religious mind is obstinate. See, and it's got fixed opinions. Now, the reason it got that way, because it cloistered itself. It became secluded that you could not hear anything else. And the Bible explicitly says that iron sharpeneth iron. So there may be some things somebody might say that kind of, well, pick a spark in you. You might not like it at first, but as you meditate and concentrate, like Brother Copeland says, you begin to get a revelation, because iron sharpeneth iron. There's always a better way to do something if you're just willing to listen. You see, but if you have a religious mind and you're obstinate and you get that, you have a fixed opinion, which means nothing else can come from that. I believe it was in 1904 that they wanted to close the patent office because everything that was going to be invented had been already invented. Did you know that's a true story? How foolish that is. And just in my lifetime, well, just in the last, 20 years, I mean, cell phones were as big as this pulpit when you first saw them. Well, not quite, but I mean, you know, now they're so small and you carry the Library of Congress in your cell phone. The information. Now, how it gets in there and how it stays in there is gigabytes and whatever that is and all other kind of bytes. So think if they'd have shut the patent office down. And now laptop computers are becoming almost obsolete. You can do everything from your cell phone. Now we're coming up with cars that'll drive themselves. That's nice, isn't it? I don't want to be the first one to get on the road and try it. I wanted to be really proven and tested, you know what I'm saying? The title of this message today is God Has a Hard Time Saying No. Write that down. God has a hard time saying no. Now in Mark 11, 23 and 24, he's now revealing himself in a way that the church will even today have a hard time. So you can imagine 2,000 years ago what they were thinking about that. And in John chapter 14, I want to start reading. Well, it starts off in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now he's beginning to equal himself with God, which is going to cause religious trouble because it's obstinate. It's fixed opinions. It's mind is obstinate. Oh, it don't want nothing new. And what they don't realize is that Jesus wasn't new. Jesus was from the beginning. And even in the scientific world, great as Einstein was with his theory of E equals MC square, energy equals matter times the speed of light square, which I've read everything Einstein's ever done. I like all that kind of stuff. I realized that some things he was wrong, especially in quantum physics, quantum particles and different things of that nature. But yet he literally changed the world because of thought and had to be proven. And his theory was proven through when the sun and the moon, you have an eclipse, so a space-time, how you could bend and warp time and warp light, see? And, well, I mean, it really opened up great revelations for the scientific world. But the person that came up with something far greater than that was the Big Bang Theory. It did not come from an atheist, but a theoretical physicist that was a Catholic priest. You may not realize that a Catholic priest who loved the Lord, brilliant, smart as a whip. I mean, came up with the big bang theory at that time. They all thought he had lost his mind. But what he said was he read in the beginning. Now, God is not finite like we are. I never forget one time in prayer, I said, God, how'd you come into existence? How'd you start? He said, well, I created myself and I broke the mold. That didn't make a lick of sense to me. He said, I always was. That don't make no sense neither, because we have beginnings and ends. But this Catholic priest, who was a theoretical physicist, was amazing of the Big Bang Theory. And all that you see here, according to this, now they believe that it's almost factual now. Just about every theoretical physicist believes in the Big Bang Theory. Started about the size of a dime of pure energy. Now, we don't know what that pure energy was, according to them. I'm dealing with the scientific world, not the gospel world here. Pure energy, about the size of a dime. And when she blew, when light be hit, immediately the universe came into existence. Now we understand that maybe if we could understand a black hole or the wormholes, are there multiple universes? And all these things, I mean, begin to, and right now even the universe is still expanding as I'm talking today. Now that fascinates me. Kathy says, boy, just you into that stuff. Oh yeah, I mean, I could do a talk on that kind of stuff. I don't mean that pridefully. I enjoy that because you see, I'm like that Catholic priest. In the beginning, I understand God as pure energy. Pure. That even his words, his letters to his name. And you notice his real name doesn't have any vowels in it. That's why you can't pronounce it. If you go look at it you, how you say it? I mean, think about it for a minute. Well, I'm just trying to say the letters. If you just say it, you know, you take, it's all consonants. You just take out the vowels and it's Y. You know, you go. Because it's a name above name. Then he tells Moses, he said, what's your name? He said, I am that I am. Just say I am sent you. Now, Moses was no fool. Moses was a very brilliant man. To become as high as he was in the Egyptian government, you can't be a dummy. Because he had to get past Ramses, who was the biological son of Pharaoh. You see, of Seti, actually what it was. So when you understand that, and I love this Catholic priest, and I've studied him, when he said, he believed that when God said, light be, that was the beginning. Okay. So Jesus is coming up now in his teachings because the cross is very imminent. It's about ready. Things are going to change in the very near future. And he says this in St. John 14. Let me read verse 1. He starts off with, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then he tells you, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's why I believe that Jesus is coming back. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Then he comes up, and Thomas comes up there and says some kind of stuff. Jesus got to straighten him out. Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said in verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So if Jesus is the way, you can't get lost. If Jesus is the truth, you cannot be deceived. If Jesus is the life, the devil can't kill you. Now, if you're a rapper, you can make that a rap song. If Jesus is the way, you know. I mean, you know, Jerry Savelle's in the rap. He liked rap, you know, praise God. People are rapping for him, praise God. That's good. Jerry got all kind of good stuff. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, I think of Jerry Savelle. He's done the most impossible things. I mean, even in Africa, it's amazing, man. I mean, even the tribes like Jerry. Tribes. I mean, it's just amazing. So, I mean, and I like that. So if he's the way, you can't get lost. If he's the truth, you cannot be deceived. If he's the life, the devil can't kill you. That's what he's telling Thomas. So he straightens him out a little bit. And then Philip jumps up and says, Lord, show us the Father. I mean, sometimes you say some ignorant things. Jesus said in verse 9, I've been with you so long that you haven't seen him yet, Philip. See what I'm saying? So even if you can be close to someone really brilliant in spiritual, sometimes if you're looking with natural eyes and not with spiritual eyes, you're not going to see the fullness of who this individual may be. Then he says in verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else, you don't want to believe that, just believe me for the work's sake. Then he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now he's getting into some heavy stuff. Now he's dealing with us. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Woo. So that's healing the sick, casting out devils, freely receive, freely give, walking on water, multiplying food, taking care of anybody that comes his way. Anybody touch your virtue come out of you. My Lord. Now this is big. See, this is getting real big, but it's not quite as big yet. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. So Jesus knew where he was going, and he knew what he was going to do when he get there. So you must understand your destiny and your destination. Now I'd like you to ask yourself that before I get into this message. Do you know where you're going? Do you know what you're going to do when you get there? Do you understand your destination? Do you understand your destiny? What has God called you to do? Remember what Brother Copeland said last night, which I thought was the night before, was a phenomenal, phenomenal statement. He said, if God calls you, he's already qualified you. Now, you may work through the thing, but you're already qualified. He knows that it's in you, and you may just have to pray it out of you, but you're already there once he says that you can do these things. Now, you figure the greater works, that's good, but then he just gets flat. I mean, to the religious mind, this makes no sense at all. Because you see, he doesn't want to say no. His father doesn't want to say no. My daughter is going to be 43 years old come October. You look at her, she looks 30 years old. And in those almost 43 years, I have never told her no one time. Not once. I got a hard time with that. Now, her mother did a bunch of time. You know, she's 14, 15, and she said, boy, daddy, mama, I said, Jody, I'd give it to you, but your mama just don't want you to have it. And I know I was wrong, but I just couldn't do it. She said, you need to go in there and discipline. One time Kathy wanted me to go in and spank Jody. Boy, Jody coming, she was like, yeah, them beautiful blue-eyed long hair. I closed that door. I said, I want to tell you something. You listen to me. She thought I was going to beat her. I said, I'm going to hit this bed and you scream as holler as loud as you can. I said, I want you to holler loud. You understand? I said, I'm going to hit this bed. So I had this belt or whatever. Boom, I hit the bed. Jody, what? Boy, after a while, Kathy, don't hit her too hard. I said, now your mama don't know what's happening. Keep your mouth shut. And do what your mama says. And she going to be 40, yet to tell her no. My granddaughter, who I call Eminem, she's 6 years old and I ain't told her no neither. I don't like that. I don't like that. Then I realize I'm like God. He don't like it neither. He has a very hard time saying no. He really want to bless you if you're willing to accept it. Now, sometimes love in its purest form is discipline. We understand that. But, I mean, he really just wants to say yes. He really does. Because, I mean, a yes is a wonderful word. It just brings peace into place. So, honey, can you get me something to eat? Yes. Hey, baby, what's going on tonight? Yes. Hey, it's a wonderful word. I didn't say nothing. Boy, you people got some wild stuff in your mind. Yes. It's a pleasant word. It's a wonderful word. Now, here where he gets to where the religious mind is blown. He says this. And whatsoever, verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, it is so big, it takes three words to make one word. Whatsoever. Put them together, because that's the only way you're going to understand it. You could have, because if you'd have just said what, you'd have went, what? He said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Not maybe so, I don't know. It depends if my father feels like it. No, that while I do. And then the reason. Jesus always gives you a reason. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatsoever. Now that blows the religious mind. No, that's greed. No, that's Jesus' words. In red in your Bible. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Then he takes it to a level that the religious world just, whoo, this is just too deep. And it's a very short verse. If you shall ask anything. Now, what does anything mean to you? Now, this is what it means to the religious world. Well, that means spiritual stuff. Well, no, anything is more than spiritual. Anything is spiritual, physical, financial. Anything means exactly what it says. Anything. He said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do. Now, the word it is there in the King James. It's italicized, which means it was put there by the translators. But really, it's not there in the original. It says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do. Or like the great Ray Charles used to say, we're going to make it do what it do. I will do. Now, the religious world says, what if it be his will? He didn't say that. Oh, y'all got quiet there. He didn't say that. They said that. That's commentary. He said, anything and whatsoever. The vastness of who this God is. Brother Copeland was preaching so eloquently today, talking about being stretched. Now, this stretched you to the breaking point of a religious mind. In fact, he wants it broken. So I'm going to say a little iron sharpeneth iron tonight. How many of you are believing for some unbelievable, impossible things? But then you need to hear this message. God wants to do what you're believing for. Have you ever thought in your finite mind that he's the one that put that in your thought processes to start with so you could receive it? So write this down if you're taking notes. The expressions whatsoever and anything indicate the vastness of the Lord's resources and the liberality of his heart. Vastness of his resources and liberality of his heart. Watch it again. Let me say it again. The expressions whatsoever and anything indicate the vastness of the Lord's resources and the liberality of his heart. The vastness of it. Got to remember, he says, the heavens, even the heavens of the Lord, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. But if you don't take possession over what God has given you, someone else will. Because he has such a vastness about himself. He says, whatsoever. In other words, break me, bankrupt me if you can. You never will, because you see, my liberal heart is beyond what you can even ask a thing. I want to do so many things for my family. I don't have a big family. It's me and Kathy and Jody and Jay and Meredith. As far as that is that little clan right there. And I tell you, it's wonderful. I just talked to Jody today. I said, Jody, how you doing? She said, Dad. And she said, you just believe so many impossible things. But the Lord gave me a statement a couple of years ago. Believe the unbelievable, receive the impossible, because it's doable. So I began to look into the vastness of God and what he has according to his riches and glory. That's why I study science. That's why I study physics. That's why I study all those things I read. And I have spent thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on a library. I got a library. In fact, I had a preacher say this the other day. Jesse, if Jesus tarries and you die, you got one of the prettiest homes I've ever seen anybody in anywhere in the world. But that ain't nothing. Whoever gets your library has got something. I mean, I got stuff in there that I got to read from right to left. That's called the Talmud. I got the Babylonian Talmud. I got the Jerusalem Talmud. I got the Mishnah. I got the Zohar. I got just in the Jewish stuff, Greek. I got medical books. I read all, I mean, everything you can think of. I got novels. I mean, because I'm a man. I like a lot of different things. I want knowledge. I love knowledge. I'm like that little movie called Input. You know, that little robot. Input. Constantly. I really believe if Jesus tarry and I go by the way of the grave, on the day I die, I'm going to learn something. And I'm going to say, do this. Bye. And I'm out. See. The vastness of whatsoever. The liberality of anything is beyond human comprehension. Because it makes somebody think greed, and greed can't even come up to it. Because God has a hard time saying no. So since you got to believe by faith anyway, why don't you go for the gusto? Why don't you just believe it? Now, you're going to get criticized. It's going to happen. But you know what? And after it manifests, it's going to happen. I've had people say this, and I learned it from Fred Price, which I thought was a great, great statement. I mean, I've been nailed to the wall because of some of the possessions I have. And I say, well, it's not material. Oh, it's material. No, I said, no, it's not materialism. It's manifestation. It's just manifested faith that I just simply believe. Since I had something to believe for, well, I'll just believe for it. Physically or spiritually or financially. I've done television interviews. Who do you think you are? I said, sit your ugly self down. I'm going to tell you who I am. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was out, form and void, and darkness on the face of the deep. And God said, let's make Jesse. Make Jesse in my image and in my likeness. And let's give him dominion. I mean, I got dominion over this interview. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I've confused so many guys. One time in South Africa, you remember that, Glory? We got invited to have an interview in South Africa. It was supposed to be a good interview. Me, Gloria Copeland, and Creflo Dollar. I don't forget that. And so Gloria said, I'll just go first. And Creflo said, I'll go sit. And I said, I'll close the gate. I mean, these people were nice. This was supposed to be a church interview, blah, blah. But they had a good audience. Sister Gloria, and Gloria just sweet as can be, you know, she's nice, you know, I've only seen her lose her temper once, which I thought was wonderful. I mean, it makes you feel good, you think somebody's just perfect, and you go, thank you, Jesus, glory to God, because she's just nice, in all our years. So she sits down there, and she goes, well, thank you for inviting me, and he jumped on her like, white on rice. Why are you one of them faith people? And Gloria goes, look like you got up on the wrong side of the bed. You remember that? In South Africa. I'll never forget that, boy. And I'm looking behind that, boy. And I knew. I said, I'm going to nail this sucker to the wall when it comes my time. But Gloria kept her cool. She was real nice. But this man was rough. And this is when we were doing that world convention there in, where were we? In Johannesburg, South Africa. Make a long story short, then here come Creflo. Hey, they nailed Creflo to the wall. He said, oh, they in that prosperity stuff. Creflo and I, it was shocking. Here at church people, you think you're going to get something. Creflo didn't know what to say, but it was shocking. And I said to myself, Lord Jesus, man, I could tell you, it's uncomfortable. You know, you want people to like you, but this guy's coming at Gloria, coming at Creflo. And Creflo answered a few things. Why you got to have all that? Why you believe in this? And all this kind of stuff, you know. And so finally that was all. He said, ladies and gentlemen, we got with us next, Jesse Duplin. I got up, and brother, when I sat down, I said, how you doing? And I said, you know what? I'm going to talk to you and to your audience. I said, I looked at the camera just like that. I said, I'm going to show you how big a fool this idiot really is. I want to ask you this. I said, ask me anything you want. And we started. You know, I don't mean that privately. I confused that boy so bad, he shut the interview down and didn't play it. Now, Brother Copeman was right all the time. They asked Brother Copeman to come. He said, I ain't going down there and do that. Y'all wasting time. And that was true. We wasted an afternoon. But we thought, well, you know, we can touch some people. It's a Christian interview. It's a Christian station. You figure there's something, you know, you can have agreements on difference on doctrine, but you don't get so mad try to hurt somebody. You see what I'm saying? So when I read that Jesus said whatsoever, I said, did Jesus say whatsoever? Well, yeah, he did. Did he say anything? Well, yeah, he did. I said, well, either you lying or God lying. I pick you. Then I look at the camera and say, now I want you to know you've been watching this guy for several years. He's just a liar. Go ahead, say it. Say you're a liar. Boy, I've had him go, I'm a liar. Oh, yeah. I'm not bragging about that. Oh, excuse me. One time in a business session with two lawyers on me, I said, you think you're talking to this dumb, stupid preacher? I said, man, I got the mind of Christ. You got the mind of the devil. The guy said, don't bring religion in. I said, I ain't bringing religion in this thing. I'm bringing Jesus Christ and him be crucified. I rebuke both of you. And they went, okay. They don't know how to handle that when that authority begins to flow from God above. They don't know how to handle that. Because they don't care. I told T.D. Jakes that. And I love Bishop Jakes. He said, they don't care if it's the truth or a lie. They just want a story. So give them one. You might even get a variety show out of it. Who knows? So the expressions whatsoever and anything indicate the vastness of the Lord's resources and the liberality of his heart. So I don't mind asking God for anything. I'm just in obedience. And I don't mind saying whatsoever it is. Why? Because he said that because he's a God of love, not a God of no. And most of the time it's not a delay. It's not a denial. It's just a delay because you can ask for something you cannot receive. So you got to grow till you get that. But sometimes you may ask a misc, which everybody, because you ask before the time frame. Write this down. The spirit of Christianity is a spirit of love. We as Christians are capable of receiving this affection. That was one of the hardest things in my life after I got born again was this love thing. Oh, Lord Jesus, that was hard for me. I had a hard time letting a man hug me. I'm not homophobic. I'm not. But my Lord, I'll never forget when I went to that church. Kathy was so glad I went to that church. I went to my brother's church and Kathy said, oh, Jesse, we're going to like this church. I said, okay. I walk in like that. This first time I'm in there, you know, I just been born again 4 months early, but I was in the music world. It took 4 months to get me out of the music business. I got sold everything, got everything out. I cut the contracts and zoom, straight to New Orleans. And anyway, I walk in this church and the guy said, well, it's so nice to see you. And he hugged me. When he did, I went, wow, make your hand up. And I just pushed it. I said, what you funny or something? What are you? Who are you? Kathy said, they hug you. I said, they ain't hugging this boy. You understand what I'm saying? I could not get over that. Lord Jesus. I shook my, you know, I just couldn't get over that. Well, I didn't know. I didn't know how to handle it. Even though I was capable of it, I had to learn. I mean, people speak in tongues. I was not used to that. We had a woman. She spoke in tongues like you're trying to start a car. Yeah. I said, I barely say it, but I know that ain't no language. And Kathy said, shut up, Jesse, shut up. I said, why's she going? Whip, 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 whip. Sound like they need a celluloid switch on that language. I think that's what I call it. Is that right, Jerry? A celluloid? I don't know what a car is, but it was weird. I'll never forget when I first heard Kenneth Hagin speak in tongues. Blew the socks on me. Man, he had a real good tongue. I said, there's some Indian in that man. That's some Indian in that. He from Oklahoma. That would be some Indian in that. So I'm trying to figure it out. I've had some people speak in tongues. Come on, and they speak for 10 minutes. And someone said, thus saith the Lord thy God. If you'll do what I say, I'll do it. I'm going, there got to be some more. See, it's not a translation, it's an interpretation.
That's right. That's right.
I didn't know that. So I thought the syllables got to match. Right? I mean, that just, well, when you don't know, you don't know. What's the spirit of Christianity that God has a hard time saying no? Is a spirit of love. See, write this down, such assurances places all the resources of omnipotence at the disposal of the newest Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, I and you right now have all the resources of omnipotence. But you're going to have to stretch yourself to flow in it. Even to the newest Christian, even to a baby Christian. Isn't that amazing? That's a spirit of love. I never forget when Meredith, my granddaughter, and I saw her. I mean, and when I first saw Jody, it was the same thing. Man, because, you know, Kathy was on drugs when Jody was born, knocked out. You know, I told that doctor, I said, can I get some of them drugs? I like them drugs. Man, he said, no, you can't have none of that stuff. He told me, he said, now listen, she's going to be screaming and howling. Her body going to hurt, but she ain't going to remember nothing. I said, I need some of that stuff. I need that. He said, you can't have that, you know. That's at Arlington Memorial Hospital in Arlington, Texas. My daughter's the only Texan in our Cajun family. She was born in Arlington Memorial. And I never forget, so Kathy, man, I mean, this is some tough drugs, huh? And she had the baby, and he said, you can go in and see your wife. Now, it must have been, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes. How come walking in there was Kathy laying on the table? I said, well, how you doing? She said, they're about ready to push me in to have the baby. I said, oh, man, I got to get some of these drugs, man. God. I said, woman, you already done had the baby. She reached for her stomach and it was gone. She goes, what? What did we have? I almost said, a dog. No, I was going to say, yeah, but remember that? I said, we had a little girl. We had a little girl. She stopped crying. It was a great day. But see, I hadn't touched her yet. They put her behind a glass wall. So I was looking. But boom, they put that baby, Jody, Renee, Duplantis into my hand. It changed my life. I went, God, I gotta do something with my life. I gotta do something. I immediately began to plan in my mind right there her future, her protector. I mean, she's only a few hours old, and I said, if any ugly boy come to my house, I'll beat his stinking brains. I ain't coming out of here. I mean, I immediately began to protect years into the future. You see, and I said, let me give her what she wants. I don't want to tell her no. I want to tell her yes. You see what I'm saying? And she had a wonderful life. She'll tell you that. And she had understanding that few kids did, because when I went in the ministry, she understood, even though I wasn't home a lot. She said, go get them saved. And she said, go get them saved, Dad. And I love Kathy's. If you that are traveling ministers and your children, but your wife jumping on your case because you're going and blah, blah, and all that kind of stuff. You know what Kathy would do? Instead of focusing on him going away, oh, you got to go get, she focused on me coming back. See, so when I was coming back, it was nacho cheese time. Hot dogs, hamburger, Dad's coming home. Now, when I was gone, kids eating soup and salad, all healthy stuff. Boy, when Dad's coming home, it's pizza and nacho cheese. And all kinds of boy, and she said, Dad's coming home. And she told me this. I didn't know this till a few years ago. She said, I always slept better on Thursdays. I thought, you always slept better on Thursdays? Why is that? Because that's when Dad would come home. See, I would preach Sunday through Wednesday and come home on Thursdays. She knew I could handle anything. And I never forget, I gave her some things she couldn't handle when she was real young. I mean, I gave her $5,000 cash. Kathy liked to pass out. What's she going to do with that? I said, whatever she wants.
Jesse, she's just a child.
We got to have a picture of it. A picture. She's on her knees like this. I said, there's the money. Go do what you got to do, man. And so Kathy put some limits on it. You can only spend so much, a quarter for clothes. Oh, Dad. I said, hey, I got to live with her too. So Kathy had the wisdom and I had the love. She had the love too, but I'm just saying, I just wanted to do something for this kid. Still do. Isn't that amazing? And day in a day, I couldn't stand it last week. I'm at my house, I'm going, hey, Kathy, why don't you call Joel? Let's go get the gram. Let's go get Meredith. So I call up Joel. I said, hey, Meredith, want to come with us? And she always liked to come, you know. She says, what are we going to do? I said, anything, Meredith. What do you want to do? Let's go to the magical store. That's the Disney store. Yeah, we go in there, and boy, we just have a wonderful time. When we come in, I should have been the stockholder in that business. I'm telling you. She's got every princess thing. She got an Ella. I don't know the name of these. She sings that Frozen song, and they just go to town. She got everything you can think of. Why? Us? Took her to Disney World. I'm going to say that, and I'm going to get in this. Here's some devil. Took her to Disney World. Now, Kathy said, for once in your life, can't you come and have us a family? You want to see your grand? I said, I'm going to do it, Kathy. I said, I'm going to do it. I lied. I did. I said, but I'm just going to preach at this man's church then, just this one here, you understand? Because he'd been asking me to come. And I'm only 12 miles away from him, from Disney. She said, okay. And then John Hagee called me. He said, Jesse, would you come? I said, John, I was going to Disney World. He said, but you got a jet. I said, when you want me to come? I said, I'll just fly over there and fly back. Well, it did already. I flew all the way to John's and the priest. And Catherine had been going all the thing, and I wasn't there. And finally, I'd come back, and I'd get in at 12 o'clock. And they had little Meredith. She's going, Grandfather. She calls me Grandfather. 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 She calls the other side Grandpa. People love it when she goes, Grandfather. People go, oh, that kid calling it Grandfather. Well, that's my name. And she just tell me she met Cinderella. I said, oh, well, how was she nice? Yeah. And all that kind of stuff. You know, it's really great. Well, the last day she had so many toys and glitter. We had glitter all over the plane. Glitter all over the, I had it on my face, on my teeth. Cause she wear them all in little dresses. All them little girls going around with them princess dresses. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And well, you know more about it than I do. And so I'm walking like that. She says, Mommy. Jody was about maybe from me to this lady here. And she was walking and she had Meredith by the hand. She said, Mommy, I think I'll have another cuddle toy. She likes to cuddle toys when she's like. And Jody says, now, Meredith, you've got enough cuddle toys. You're filling up the plane. We got the whole hotel full. And she said, so she just took her hand out of Mama's and began to slow down. She's 6 years old. Yeah, it was her birthday. So she slows down. I'm walking in the back. And finally she comes up to me. She goes, Grandfather. I said, what you want him? She says, I just know you want to buy me a cuddle toy. I said, you are a prophet of God. Yes. Let's go do this thing. And I said, Jody, is that all right? Well, sure, Daddy, but you know, I said, it's not the issue. And she's not spoiled. Well, do you know her? No, you don't know her. I don't think she's spoiled. Man, she'll give her toys away to people. She'll give her shoes away. She's a blessing. And the other day, we didn't know, I guess Nate or Kathy, somebody at the church, when they go to this Sunday school, or what I call it, like a kindergarten kind of thing, you know, they teach them to give an offering. So she told the teacher, I don't have no money, but I'm gonna tell my mommy. So she came, she says, Mommy, you got to give me some money. We got to pay Jesus. Jody said, no, we don't pay Jesus. We give him an offering. No, we got to pay Jesus. I said, Jody, that's right. They got to pay our tithes. She got to pay. You're teaching her. And she said, that's just such a blessing. So now she looks forward to go with her offering. You see what I'm saying? We're not going to tell her no. Why? That's a good thing. You see what I'm saying? God has a hard time saying no whatsoever and anything. So I want you to keep that on your mind as I go through this. So, because you see, in a minute, after it's all over, I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord whatsoever and anything. And let's see what God does between now and next year's Southwest Believers Convention. Because we're coming up to that thing, okay? Write this down. If we submit ourselves to His influence, He will fulfill His purpose in us and our purpose in asking. You have to submit. See, what Brother Copeland did when he got born again, hearing his teacher talk to him, he surrendered. He surrendered to that. Now, little did he realize God's already working on Gloria 2 weeks earlier. You know, even though you kind of don't know what you're doing, but God knows exactly what he's doing. He's got the right people in life to help you to get you where you need to go. He's so far ahead of you. He's so far in advance of you. See, but you have to surrender. So if we submit ourselves to his influence, he will fulfill his purpose in us. Watch that. And our purpose in asking. So I have no problems asking. I don't have any problem with Jody asking me for something, and she hardly ever does. Or even my granddaughter are asking me for something. Because usually I'm always providing something. I'm ahead of her. I've already told her when she gets as tall as her mommy, my granddaughter, that I'm going to buy her a new car. I said, grandfather going to buy you a new car. She's 6 years old. She says, a red one? I said, a red one. Whatever one you want. Don't make no difference to me. And if I could talk the state of Louisiana of giving my granddaughter at 6 years old a driver's license, I'd buy it when I go home. Now, she can't drive it, but she can ask for it. I told that to Jody, and I did. Like, that drove me nuts. Because I wanted Jody to grow up fast so I could see that. I wanted to be the blessing to her. How many times God has told me, Jesse, just grow. Come on, Jesse, grow. Because I just want to bless you. Just grow. I'm growing, God. I'm growing. Yeah, and all of a sudden, bam, what you thought was unbelievable and impossible came to pass. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, believing the unbelievable. Receiving the impossible. I didn't want to say that. I'm asking the Lord inside, but I'll do that. Our pastor of our church, Pastor Nathaniel Wolf and Michelle. Stand up, Nathaniel and Michelle. Right there. I just want you to see them. They pastor Covenant Church, which is the local outreach of my ministry. Okay. When you're a traveling ministry, all I've ever done is travel. First time I ever baptized anybody in my life was Jerry Seville at Eagle Mountain Lake. See, evangelists don't baptize people. That's a pastoral duty kind of situation. I mean, I just preach revivals in and out. And I never forget when Brother Copeland asked, he said, let's baptize. And old Mac Gober was with him. Remember that, Jerry? And I said, I know what to say in the name of the Father. I said, but I ain't never done that. Jerry said, you ain't never baptized. No. I said, no, Jerry, I just travel. You've been a pastor. I never in my entire life have ever pastored. Never. I mean, I've just been traveling. God called me that way. So we got in that Eagle Mountain Lake. There's some big people got in that lake, too. Now, me and Jerry, I'm just a hair taller than Jerry, not by much. Boy, here come this big mama. She big. I look at Jerry. I said, can you handle this? He said, but with your help. I said, I think she's going to drown us, Jerry. This is a big woman. Now, she don't know. She's just coming. I just love y'all. We're thinking, Jesus, let her go to Mac Gober. You know, go on over there. On the other side there. We the two smallest guys out here. So Jerry, he said, okay, grab her this way. So I said, you say the stuff, Jerry. He said, and we're going to put her down. And when we put her down, we went under ourselves. Both of them. Well, she goes, oh, Jesus. And her arms are just a flopping. Boy. Now, she got arms about this big. I mean, they look like three bagels hanging in there. Man, I mean, the waves are hitting me and Jerry in the face. You know, we're trying to get that big woman up. Glory to God. But she got baptized. I mean, she really loved the Lord. So I remember that, Jerry. We just baptized. I'm enjoying myself. Then here come a lady with a German police dog. Brother Copeland pulled some weird people. She said, I want you to baptize my dog. Remember that? And that dog going, ha, ha. I said, that dog going to hell. I ain't baptizing that dog. He didn't forget that, Jack. That dog mad, son. I ain't baptizing that dog at all. Remember that, Jerry? Me and Jerry and that dog want to eat us alive. Thank God for Mac Gober. Oh, Mac Gober, who just went on be with the Lord. Man, I said, Mac. He wants to baptize the dog. I said, Mac, I ain't baptizing that dog. That dog will eat us alive. Me and Jerry just looking like that. Mac said, I'll baptize that dog. Remember that? He made sure he grabbed that dog by the nose. Foom! Foom! I baptize you in the name of Jesus. Foom! And the Father. Foom! And the Son. Foom! That dog going, hurr, hurr, in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Turn loose that dog. That spirit of that dog, calm down. You remember that, Jerry? That was a wonderful day. I know we got criticized. They go over there, them faith people baptized dogs. You seen that demon-possessed dog, you'd have baptized him too. I found God loved that dog. That lady wanted us to baptize that dog. I'll never forget that long as I ever live. It was a great day. I learned a lot of things. I said, how did I do, Jerry? You did good, Jesse. You did good. I said, we lost a few of them. We all drowned a couple of them. There's something you just couldn't hold up. Some of them are just too strong. They just pull us down. But we just go down with them, come up, man, swimming. It was a great day. But what they did, it was asked us to do it. What an honor for somebody to ask you to baptize them. Now, maybe they wouldn't ask me if they knew I'd never done it before. But I learned something that day. I learned something. And finally, I did, for the first time, Jerry said, just take that handkerchief, put it over her nose. I said, okay. And I caught her nose. So, I almost killed that woman at first. She's trying to breathe. Because after she came up, I still got her by the nose. Jerry said, turn loose of her nose. Yeah. All I heard was, glory to God. Well, I didn't know. Jerry was laughing like he is right now. He was just passing out. I said, you laughing at me? Oh, yeah. But he taught me something that day. Now, let's get past the laughter and get to something that you'll understand. I had to lighten you up there, what I'm about ready to say. He encourages us, write it down, to ask frequently. Now, this is beyond the religious mind. He encourages us to ask frequently. Ask what? Whatsoever. Anything. Stretching you. He encourages us to ask frequently. Why? For it tends to one great purpose. Why does he say to do that? That the Father may be glorified. So instead of thinking that the person asking is greed, have you ever thought in your finite mind that God the Father is being glorified through the Son by those two vast resource words of whatsoever or anything? He said, notice I made you laugh for it, because if you just say that cold, people go, that's just greed, that is. No. He encourages you to ask frequently. That's why he wants you to pray. Your morning devotions and the different things. Ask. Yeah. And you shall receive. Go look for the knock. Seek. I mean, come on. I want to do something for you. Because it glorifies the Father. The world thinks it glorifies us. They say, oh, they just talk about that prosperity. It's part of the Bible. We also talk about grace, and we talk about faith. We talk about the fruits of the Spirit. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit. You just pick one that you don't think we should have. But God is no respecter person. So I don't mind asking him frequently, because it's one purpose in mind, that the Father would be glorified. Write this down. His precepts, his counsels, his admonitions are binding on all of the subjects of his kingdom. I find out I'm a subject of his kingdom. So his precepts on me, his counsels on me, his admonitions on me are binding on me. As I said earlier in one of my other services, that the only Jesus some people might ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. Now, I want to get to this story. I tried to get away from this story, but the Lord told me to do this. When Nathaniel and Michelle came, I had to learn some things. So, what do you mean? I mean, you know, I had two other pastors, and it was great, but they never did bring this up. Well, Pastor Nathaniel is doing such a phenomenal job, him and Michelle, they're blessings of the Lord. Well, the church really loves them, which I'm glad. Glory to God. Because I don't have a jealous bone in my body. I'm not in competition with nobody. I'm just glad to know you. You understand? So the associate pastor come up to me and said, oh, Brother Jesse, you know what pastor appreciation is? I said, no. What's pastor? I ain't never heard of evangelist appreciation. Nothing. I ain't heard of none of that. Appreciation? No. Well, it's called, we're having a, is it okay if we have a pastor appreciation Sunday? I said, well, yeah. I said, well, what do we want to do? Well, you're the founder of the ministry. We have to pass that by you and Miss Kat. I said, well, okay, well, let's receive him an offering. Give him an offering. Would that be all right? He said, oh, would you do that? I said, yeah, let's be a blessing. Well, let's don't tell nobody and all that kind of stuff, you know. I said, okay, so pastor appreciation. I said, we'll receive an offering. Now, I went home and I was edgy. See, because I've been stressed. Now, I'm going to make somebody mad because you got a religious mind, obstinate, fixed opinion. Cloistered seclusion. Here we go. And the Lord knew it. I was edgy. So I said, Lord, it's pastor appreciation coming up, and we want to be a blessing to Nate and his wife. And we're going to receive an offering. And I present this to you because this is your church. This is your money. This is yours. And he said, that's great, Jesse. Now, what do you really want to do? I said, what I really want to do? He said, tell me what's in your heart. Now, did he already know? Yeah, but see, he had to make me say that, that he would be glorified. I said, you know what I really want to do, Lord? He said, I asked you that. What do you want to do? I said, not only would I like to give him the tithe, I mean, give him an offering, but I want to give him all the tithe and offering. I want everything that comes in, the whole ball of wax, the whole Sunday situation, everything. Can I do that? Because this is your money. Can I do that? He said, Jesse, that's exactly what I wanted to do. I'm so glad that you wanted to do it. I was excited. So I got up there and there's Brother Nathan and Michelle. They didn't know what's going on. I said, it's pastor appreciation. When the whole church just looking at, I said, now I want everybody to get up and I want you to come up and bless this man and his wife because they've been so kind to us. Boy, now they all got up. I said, and all the tithes, all the offering, everything today is going to them. Our church just began to shout. Nate had tears coming out of his eyes. Michelle had a smile on her face like, thank you, Jesus. That's Michelle. Nate just crying. He said, I never in my life, I've heard people give an offering, but not everything. Everything. Whatsoever. It was one of my whatsoevers and my anything. I said, God, he said, what would you like to do? I said, I will never touch your money. That's yours, Lord. We had 100% agreement across that church. So it was a good day for that couple. It was a blessing of the Lord. And they said, I've been in ministry over 20 years. I ain't never seen nobody do that. Why? 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 Why can't you be as generous as God? He's given you his most prized possession. His only begotten son. The least you can do is be a blessing to him. That he is glorified. What all it did, he went all over New Orleans. It just glorified the Father. Or did it hurt Jesse's plans or covenant? No, it didn't. Well, I've been debt free since 1982. We have no debt whatsoever at all. And I'm not bragging on it, give God glory. No, it was a blessing. It was amazing. I had people come up, they had tears in their eyes. I've never seen this. I've been going to church all my life. I have never seen nothing like this in my life. It was a great day. You understand? Not because of the finance. It's just somebody would want to do that. Of course, they were giving me all the accolades, but they understand. I wanted to do it, but really that was in the heart of God. Because you see, it was a whatsoever. That's a vast resource and a anything. So his precepts, counsels, and admonitions are binding on all the subjects of his kingdom. Asking in his name means you understand that the name of God is the revelation of God in Christ. So we're asking his name all the time. I pray in his name all the time. Because I have a revelation of his name. And then when you go through all his names, my God, that'll preach for roast your whole life. In fact, the Jews not only have the name, they got the letters mean something. They got the spaces between the letters. I mean, there's so much. To study the Torah, it takes a lifetime. It's a lifetime. Just Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Think about all the rest of the other books. Think about truly studying grace. If you think we've got the level of grace, we understand we ain't nowhere near the depthness of grace or the depthness of faith. We're going to be learning this in heaven for eternity upon eternity. You talk about a believer's convention, we're going to have one every day. Learning and learning and learning the vastness of who God is and what he has for us, you see. So asking in his name means you understand that the name of God is the revelation of God in Christ. So notice this, that God gets glorified. Now, how do you ask? Prayer. Write this down. Prayer is the key which, when turned by the handle of faith, unlocks all the treasures of God. Ladies and gentlemen, without sounding pridefully arrogant, I got to watch what I say because I get it. Because before I ask, he answers. And one of the greatest compliments I ever received in my life was from God the Father and Kenneth Copeland. Years and years ago. You've heard me say this. I think one of the believers convention, maybe 5 or 10 years ago. I was sitting in my desk. And my financial director came in. She says, what do you want to do with this money? I had no idea. I said, whoa, what money is it? It was just over and above, Billy. You know, I said, well, just put it on my desk. Well, what account you want this to go into? What do you? I said, well, I don't know. Let me pray about it. See, but put it on the desk. And it wasn't more than 2 minutes. The receptionist says, Brother Jesse, they call me boss. Boss, Brother Kenneth Copeland's on the line, wants to talk to you. I said, oh, yeah. So So I picked up, I said, hello, Brother Copeland. He said, hey, Jesse. He said, listen, I the Lord spoke something to me, and the Lord said that Jesse would help me. I said, what'd you say, Brother Copeland? He said, the Lord said in prayer that you would help him. Brother Copeland wouldn't ask him for no help. He didn't call me and ask, you know, he didn't ask me to do it. He just said, he is just transferring to me what God told him. Call Jesse to plant us, and because he's going to help me. God, not Brother Copeland, God. I said, what? He said, we want to buy a ministry, an airplane. And I'm putting this amount of money, and this is how much is left. And I said, and I reached over and took that check, and I turned it over. It was exactly the amount. Now, he wasn't asking me. You know, this is God doing it. The thing that blessed me beyond my wildest dreams, that God said to a prophet, Jesse will help me. So we paid cash for that airplane, and that brother flew that airplane all over the place preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it made no difference how much money. I'll be honest with you, Brother Copeland paid the bulk of it. That's not the issue. But it was so wonderful that the Lord would think that I would help him. And God got glorified. Brother Copeland didn't get no glory on it. Jesse the Plans didn't get no glory on it. And every time that brother would say, boy, I tell you what, you two guys. And we would say, we didn't do nothing. All we did was obey. Because you see, it glorified God. Now, that's amazing. We bought a plane and both of us got aircraft. And nice ones that go all over the world. You follow what I'm saying? Think about that. See, that's the Lord doing those things. See, when you ask, it must be childlike, not childish. Write it down. Asking must be childlike, not childish. It must be thankful and trustful and self-committing. Not childish, childlike. Lord, can I do this? Lord, I thank you that you do this. Every time I pray, I use Romans 4:17. I call those things which be not as though they were, because they will. You see? So I thank him in advance. He said, bring petitions and supplication with thanksgiving. You can go look up all those scriptures. So I say, thank you in advance and call those things which be not as though they were, because I know you have a hard time saying no. And I'm not just bribing God, trying to get him this, you know. It's just that he just loves us so much. You know, God has given me some stuff that he should have held on to. That shocks you? How many times you've given something to your kids or your grandkids that you should have held on to? But you love them so much, well, they'll just work through it. And boy, how many times I said, Lord, you should have done that for me. He said, I just love you so much. But it taught you something. And I realized that I could ask for something that I can't handle. So before I ask, I look within myself and say, can I handle this? If God does this. And if I can't, then I go to the book of Proverbs. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You see what I'm saying? And when you do those things, it's amazing how God says, now that's thankful. That's trustful. That's self-committing. Now, if you don't meet the requirement, you must not complain if you don't attain it. Write that down. If you don't meet the requirement, you must not complain if you don't attain it. Go with me to Matthew chapter 21. I want to read verse 22. See, this is the reason why some people don't attain something. Right here in this simple verse, Matthew 21 verse 22, it says this. Matthew 21 verse 22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. I found out that sometimes I wasn't believing. I was hoping. I was kind of shooting the dice. It was like the Monopoly game. Maybe I can fall on Park Row or Broad, what do you call it? Broad, whatever. That, I can't remember. That. I have to stop. No. See, God's voice is not a gamble. He's not a game of chance. He means what he says. So if you don't attain it, maybe that's the reason why. So don't complain if you don't get the things that we're talking about. If you're not praying and believing, you may be praying, but are you believing? That's the key to that. That's what locks this thing. So God doesn't have, so he doesn't say no. And I've asked him for some major, and he's asked me for some things. I'll say this in closing. Being raised Catholic and not used to giving, because we made most of our money on bingo and fairs. You know, church want to do something, you put on a fair. You play a little bingo. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, y'all sold chicken, you know, chicken dinners, I guess, at Protestant churches. We'd put it on a fair. You know, get a Ferris wheel out there at 50 cents a ride, blah, blah, and we'd go through the church. You know, vice versa and all that kind of stuff. We have one of the biggest fairs in the South Louisiana called Lagniappe on the Bayou. And it's for the St. Joseph Catholic Church there, down in Chauvin, Louisiana, an area. And I'm going to tell you something. I mean, when you go, they cook food. It's the most amazing food you'll ever eat in your life. And you got to park 2 miles away from the plate. I mean, on down there, you don't care. You're going to walk because they got shrimp boulettes. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, these all them kids of people talk like that. Man, I'm going to tell you something. You brought yourself over here right now. We're going to pass ourselves a good time, huh? And they're all real fat. That means you know they know how to cook, son. And they got big gumbo. I mean, it's just wonderful. It's called Lagniappe on the Bayou. And that's how they raise their monies. Well, you know, I thought, you know, when I thought, give to the church and just put on a fair or do a bingo game or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. And when I got introduced to offering taking, sitting in a church, Terrebonne Full Gospel Temple, guy says, the Lord's telling us to receive an offering. I thought, that's right. And the Lord said, give $100. I said, what? Give $100. Now, when you're a Catholic boy, you give a dollar. I'm not that being critical. That's the way it was. Give $100. I went, that's all I got. He said, that's all I asked for. $100. I ain't never give $100 in my life to a church. $100? See, all God wanted me to do was glorify him. I said, but Lord, maybe you didn't quite understand what I said. That's all I got. He said, that's all I asked for. I leaned over to Kathy because I wanted her to say no so I could blame her. Like, Adam, it's the woman you gave me made me do this. I said, Kathy, the Lord, I believe the Lord just told us to give $100. She said, let's do it. So I did. Thinking he'll never ask me for any more as long as I ever live in my life. Because that stretched me as far as I could think, $100. It wasn't too long later, he asked me for $500. $500? That's $500 bills. The Lord said, I can count. I said, that's all I got. He said, that's all I asked for. Then he asked me for $1,000. And then my first $10,000 giver was 1983 to Kenneth Hagin Ministries because a friend of mine invited me to go to that convention. He said, you have been to a Kenneth Hagin convention? I said, no. Who is Kenneth Hagin? He said, you're going to enjoy this. I went there and I'm sitting next to a guy who I don't know who he is. Just sitting there, you know, at Brother Hagin's convention. And who's the man with the white hair? Norval Hayes, yeah. Gets up there and Brother Hagin says, I believe Brother Norval should receive the offering tonight. You know, he's doing that with his fingers. You know? And he said, I believe there are several people here tonight going to give $10,000. I said to myself, it ain't me, Jack. I said it. I ain't lying. I've always been honest with myself and God. He said, if you can come up here, if you get $10,000, you come up here and shake Brother Hagin's hand. I said to myself, he shake his own dead gum hand. I ain't got no $10,000. You got to be living in dream. Well, son, I ain't pay no $10,000 to shake anybody's hand. I'm sitting there thinking this, and this man says, man, I just heard the Lord tell me to give $10,000. I went, man, I heard it too. Let me get off of here. Now, I'm hearing what God's telling you. And the Lord said, give that money. I said, that's all I got. He said, that's all I asked for. I figured I said, Kathy, the Lord said, give $10,000. Now, Kathy's always so, okay. Yeah, let's write the check. I wrote, and if you're $10,000, give him a call to Brother Norval, you got to go down there and give it. So I walked again. Brother Hagin, the first time I've been close to him in my life, he shook his hand. I went like this. Just looked at me like I lost my mind. I thought, my God, that didn't feel like no $10,000. That's just an old man's hand. $10,000, touch a guy's hand. I went back, I can't believe I just gave $10,000 to touch a guy's hand. I just can't believe that. The Lord said, Jesse, I'm proud of you. I said, I ain't proud of myself. I said, I came here with $10,000. I'm broke. Bless God. He said, but that's all. I said, Lord, that's all I got. He said, that's all I asked for. Never think he'd ever ask me any more. And he asked me for $50,000. Then he asked me for $100,000. Then he asked me for $500,000. And he asked me for $1 million. Jesus. And I don't forget when I went, and the Lord said, hey, Jesse, you know you got more than that now. Yeah. I got more than that now. And I don't have to shake an old man's hand. Glory to God. I said, I can do that. And God was glorified. Then I realized how precious it was to shake Brother Hagin. And at the close of his life, at one of his board members' funerals, me and Jerry, remember we that place was packed. And I was standing right there by Jerry and Brother Hagin, way up there, and he's aged then, you know. And he was the guest speaker. We all said something. What's one of them, man? Brother Kennedy's funeral. I don't know if you know Brother Kennedy. Anyway, make a long story short. Ralph Kennedy, one of the most precious men God ever created. And so Brother Hagin coming in. I'm standing right there, and there's three steps. Brother Hagin took a step, like, and he started going. I thought, oh, Jesus. You know, so I just reached, there were so many people, and I just put my hand under his elbow, and I just pushed up. And he went, thank you. I said, you're welcome. And I went, hey, you got a pretty strong elbow. Glory to God, look at that. And he went up and then he spoke. Now, it blessed me so much. And then just a few months later, R.W. Schambach, he said, Jesse, I'm a tent man, son. Come over here and preach with me on this tent. And you know, sometimes worship leaders forget to tell you to sit down. They just wear you out. You're standing up for 45 minutes. Brother Schambach, and you know, Schambach was a big man. I mean, all of a sudden he started doing that. Oh, Lord Jesus. So I just got real close and I just kind of got behind him. And I took my hand like this, like I did, and I just pushed up on his elbow. He goes, thank you. I said, you're right. I'll never forget those two things. I had the honor of holding up two men of God. It was a great day. And the Lord said, thank you. So if Jesus tarries and I get real old and y'all see me doing this, somebody do something. Somebody do something. Because I done sowed the seed, glory to God. Somebody going to hold me up, praise the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. But the whole key to this is that God would be glorified. Just be glorified. So now, what do you want? Get you a pencil and a paper. What do you want? It's whatsoever. Ask anything. Write it down now. Right. And it don't make no difference how big or how small it is. Whatsoever. Anything. And for all the religious minds, you can stay obstinate. I just preached you a very simple, simple sermon, but not a lot of depth in it. But I'll tell you one thing. You'll understand how to glorify God. And you'll get to a point he'll glorify you beyond your wildest dreams. Whatsoever. Anything. So what do you want? I'm not asking what you need. What do you want? What is an anything in your life? What is a whatsoever in your life? Come on, the anointing of God told me to do this today in my hotel room. What? What do you want, lady? Think about it. Some of you guys that are helping security, get this in your mind, put it in your, what do you want? Come on, my man, what do you want? What are you believing for? What's anything? Come on. You have a right. Little man, come on. I know you're tired, but that's all right, son. Honey, yeah, you know, you might want a new bicycle. I don't know. Maybe a motorcycle. I don't know what you want. But I mean, what? It don't make no difference. He liked that when I said motorcycle. Jesus. What? It don't. Well, that's something material. Yeah. No, it's not materialism. It's manifestation. You see what I'm saying? What do you want? I tell you what I want. I want a Falcon 7X. I'm going to receive it. That's for his work. Otherwise, I'd just go home. I wouldn't mind just going home for a long time and do nothing. But that's going to come to pass. I'm believing God strong on that. That's what I want. I don't need another house, Bill. I got a house so big it'll blow your socks off. I got the biggest house in the state of Louisiana. Had 22 chandeliers in my house. I got stuff that was in there that was in the Palace Versailles. I'm not bragging about that. I'm a collector of artwork. I got Raphael's. I've collected over the years, me and Kathy, everything from porcelain to bronze, all kinds of things. Jerry, you've been in my house. Am I telling the truth? Where's Bishop Keith Butler? Is he here tonight? Oh, Bishop, I saw him this morning. Make a long story. He went and he couldn't believe it. Gloria walked in the house. She said, Jess, this is beautiful, Jess. I said, I give God glory. Make no excuses for his blessing. Little did I realize my investments in paintings and porcelains, bronzes, is worth millions today. I didn't spend that amount of money, but they're worth it. Amazing. I can say that here if you'll understand it. God just began to bless me. I had a preacher tell me, my Lord, you sell one vase in your house, you could live a year. Yeah, probably could. I mean that pridefully. And I was raised in a trailer, ladies and gentlemen, 8 foot wide, 32 foot long, sleeping on the floor, me and my brother. Had nothing. And mom and dad did the best they could. They had no teaching. They didn't have a Kenneth Copeland with the laws of prosperity. They didn't have any of that. No one wanted to go that far, would make that step to ask whatsoever and to ask anything. See? So when I walk around that, and it's a big, beautiful plantation home, I mean, I paid cash for it. I'll never forget the contract. Well, he said, we're going to have to go to the bank, get a draw. There ain't no bank. I am the bank. You just give me your bills, and I'll just pay them. He said, are you serious? I said, I'm serious. You know, I've made all of New Orleans mad over that, but they all want to go inside of it. They ain't going in there. I don't let doubt and unbelief in my house. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. The other day I had a gecko get in my house. A gecko. You know what a gecko is? Yeah. A gecko. And I said, you must be a Holy Ghost gecko to get in this house, boy. He just went like that. I don't know if he's speaking in tongues or not, but I didn't kill him. I didn't kill him. I took him out and put him in the yard, you know, in the flower bed. Everybody got to have a place to live. I learned that from Mac Gober. I saw something crawling one time in Mac's beard. I said, Mac, you got something in your beard. Everybody got to have a place to live. Them old Mac said, I said, okay. That's all I said, okay. I'll never forget that. That Mac Gober was a wonderful man. He's in heaven today. He's at the real believers convention up there, brother. Now, you got what you want? I want you to confess it in the morning in your devotions. And before you go to bed at night, watch how fast God's going to do something. Whatsoever and anything. And when you get it, don't get in bondage to the blessing. If you don't use it every day, don't worry about it. Man, but that's a lot of money. Don't make no difference. Don't get in bondage to the blessing. Just whenever you're ready, it's there. To be the blessing God wants you to be. Did you enjoy it tonight? Yes. Give Jesus a hand clap for that. What a blessing of the Lord.